Welcome, everyone. It's Thursday. I think it's 2:46 p.m. Tony and Mad Max show. We're supposed to go. We were going to be starting at around 2:20. Took 10 minutes. Had to restart the modem. The Wi-Fi hasn't been working. Nothing else is new. If you were tuned into the show last night, the Wi-Fi crapped out. Unbelievable. But we're here at 2:47, me and Tony here.
Yeah.
And I mentioned
just a
you
quick
before.
Little snippet.
Before, just like a quick. Yeah, before we went live, I said if this was the week I died, it'd probably make the most sense because this has been nothing but a week from hell. I don't know where I begin. My Instagram is no longer letting me post my captions. I can't even promote shows. I can't promote my past interviews, nothing. Can't promote, can barely do anything on it right now, so I'm pissed off about that. What else am I angry about? I don't know. I woke up a couple days ago and I went to, you know, when you're getting up in the morning, you always rub your eyes. To clear your eyes so you can see. I poked my freaking eye with my finger very hard and it scratched my eye really bad. And I had to wear sunglasses the past three nights for my interviews. That hasn't been fun. My freaking eye has felt like garbage.
One eye or was it both?
It's just this eye.
Is it better now?
It's a little bit better. I read online. I had to get like this special eye cleaner thing at CV.
Yeah, that stuff like, It heals itself.
Yeah, it's been a week from hell. But besides that, and then the Wi-Fi, we had Wi-Fi connections just now trying to get into the show. But I had an interview last night. The guy was 20 minutes late, and then the interview cuts out at 18 minutes. The Wi-Fi just, I'm going to say it, shits the bed. Yeah. It shits the bed 18 minutes in, and then it doesn't reboot for another 10 minutes. And I told him, I explained to him, and we didn't get to finish the interview because of the Wi-Fi. It really has been a week from hell for me. And I don't know. The Knicks lost. I know you could throw a bunch of other things. The Jets didn't close the deal with Robert Salah yesterday.
My God, that's a week from hell. I guess
I couldn't see out of my eye for 3 days.
It's a rough week. Yeah, I know. Like stuff with the eyes, man. Coming from me, a guy that wears contact lenses and has I've had eye problems my whole life, so I can definitely understand.
Unbelievable.
The Instagram thing is really weird because I don't know, like, that could be tied to your Wi-Fi or something.
I've tried everything. I've tried rebooting the Wi-Fi, rebooting the modem, trying posting whatever I want to post on Instagram with the cellular data, everything. Nothing's working.
That pops up or something.
Yeah, it says that this action is blocked.
Is somebody like trying to like sabotage you?
Yeah,
like,
maybe. That's what I'm thinking.
I think it could be. It could be the cowboy. Imagine if the cowboy did that.
I'll drive down to Texas and run him over with my car.
It was the cowboy.
It could be the cowboy. Oh boy. Or maybe his little helper.
Yeah, the snake.
Yeah, his Igor.
Or if it's the other guy.
The guy.
The bad guy.
The monster.
The guy.
The Night Stalker part two.
Yeah. Man, what like, so that really is like a rough week, man, but I'll raise your spirits. A little bit of a nice plug in, been 400 pages read on this masterpiece bad boy here.
Oh, you read the Barack Obama book?
Yeah, I'm gonna like put it like, what's a good place to like here?
Like stand it up so people can see?
Yeah. So like I know that this is like a horrible position for it to be in, but like we don't have like a lot of like choices here. I can't really put it here because then my face is blocked. So I'll just hold it up right here.
Yeah.
400 pages in on this masterpiece. Really you'll learn so much, not just about Obama's life, but about what it really means to be a president of the United States and like the inner workings of politics and just how difficult certain issues can be solved. Like it's very, very hard to get certain problems fixed, like healthcare, like the freaking healthcare reform in there, man. Like was a fight. I'm currently in the middle of it, so we haven't reached like the resolution yet or the passing of Obamacare yet, but just like the fight, just to get stuff done, and the speeches, and you know, the lobbying of politicians in Congress to like get you to support their bills and all my, it's, how is this?
What's the process? It's definitely a process, because you got to deal with the Republicans that don't want to give anything to the Democrats just because they're a Democrat, even though it helps their interest. It helps them in their best interest. They just don't want to give them a win because it's from the Democrats. That's it.
That's the truth. I mean, well, what I did learn in here is that there are what are called conservative Democrats, which align with the Democratic Party, but they are more so like representatives of a state that has been more so conservative values, and they really don't align with people like Bernie Sanders or AOC, you know, like they're true progressives, but they're still with the Democratic Party.
Would you consider Joe Biden a conservative Democrat?
I'd consider him maybe more of like a moderate Democrat. He's status quo.
Yeah.
He's just Joe. Like, you know what I'm saying?
He's just Joe.
that's really the case. I mean, Bernie Sanders, like people like Bernie Sanders, like they're really like, that's like extreme, like progressive. You don't really find people like that in the Democratic Party in terms of like Congress. Bernie was a real maverick.
Imagine if Bernie got in, how mad these Trump supporters would be, because they'd be like, that's the alt-left.
I wouldn't even want to imagine. Well, number one, if Bernie was the nominee, I think he would have gotten maybe even more votes than Joe, because Bernie just had 10 times more enthusiasm behind him. But we'll never know.
Yep.
Hopefully Bernie is still around in the political spectrum in Biden's administration. And hopefully he could really put forth some sort of legislation that can really help this country in the future. But another thing you said, and this is going to be the main topic of this show, is you were talking about the other thing that really ticked you off has been, well, first I want to do Jets and Robert Saleh, because I'm surprised, like, you're a big fan of Saleh. I mean, the Jets are. They brought him for two interviews.
I thought they were going to secure him. You know, I've been leery about defensive coordinators running this team is for the New York Jets. You look at Rex Ryan. Rex Ryan, he had a good run with the two back-to-back AFC championships. Todd Bowles was a disaster. But we just had Adam freaking Gase, who's supposed to be this offensive guru, who had one of the best offenses with the Denver Broncos, even though he had Peyton as his quarterback. And he had a terrible time with the Miami Dolphins, in which everyone hated him. We never wanted him in there. We've said it plenty of times. We hated Adam Gase before he even stepped in the Jets building for that coaching interview. Now, if you can get your hands on Robert Saleh.
Saleh. I've been saying Saleh. Huh.
Is it Saleh? Is it Saleh? I don't know. I think it's Robert Saleh. because I go all over these Jet reports. No one knows how to say his name. No one knows. So
who's another coaching candidate that you
like? Oh, the offensive coordinator who do I like? Eric Bieniemy. Yeah. I agree with you on that.
And you know what? Like, Texans love him. I think he may go to the Texans. But he's a real hot commodity out there, man. He's running the best offense in football right now. Most explosive offense in football.
The complete opposite of what the Jets are. That field goal offense.
Now, give me your take on Urban Meyer, the former coach of Ohio State, three-time national champion in college, about to finalize a deal to become the new head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars, who, in about a few short months, are going to secure Trevor freaking Lawrence.
I've I've thought about it many times, man. It's crazy. I want to see how it pans out. Nick Saban didn't have much success as an NFL coach. He was better off sticking to college as he passed Bear Bryant for the most title wins in Alabama history.
Passed Alabama in college, like college football. He has the most titles of any coach, like
in history,
in head coach in history.
Yep.
Head coaching titles because Bill Belichick has actually nine rings.
Yep, because of the Giants titles.
Six as a head coach, three as a assistant.
Yep.
So
and none of those rings came when he was with the Jets, of course.
Nah, well, didn't really step on the field much with the Jets wearing Jets green, you know.
No, he didn't. He threw it in the garbage.
But what was I going to say? You see, like, a situation like in Jacksonville. Listen, the AFC South really has been a horrible division for years. Did you know that they haven't had a 12-game winner in that division for 10 years? It's all been like 9-7s, 10-6s, 11, maybe 11-5s. I think
sounds like the division the Jets should be in.
You know what? If the Jets were in the AFC South, I mean, they would be, I mean, we wouldn't be really crying poverty here.
Yeah, no.
They'd have a chance to win the freaking division every single year, like how every team in that division does. Now, the AFC South is, what is it? It's the Colts, right? Colts, Texans, Titans, and Jaguars, right? Am I right?
I'm pretty sure. Let's double check.
I'm surprised. It's kind of embarrassing how I'm even like questioning that because yeah, I think every football fan should know.
Yeah, you're right. We double check. It's always good to double check. Titans, Colts, Texans, Jaguars.
And the Titans really are the Titans are the best team in the division, obviously. They
Yep.
Obviously, well, I know that they lost to Baltimore this past weekend, but
I wasn't surprised.
They're still a very good team.
Yeah, I wasn't surprised. We even had a feeling.
But if that's your competition, because the Colts have a really old quarterback, nice system, nice young players. But, like, I don't know, like, they're not, like, that big of a deal, the Colts. Like, they're just kind of there. The Texans are a hot mess. They're about to lose their quarterback.
Hopefully we trade for him if we're smart because he's a proven quarterback. But do I see it? No. Maybe they'll pull out a trade day. Like the Nets, just trade all your future draft picks.
That's a story for another day. But the Texans are garbage. Like, why not the Jaguars? Like, the Jaguars, not to mention the fact the Jaguars were in the AFC title game not that long ago against New England. They had a really nice system. They had a good coach.
Doug Marrone, yeah.
But they had a really under, like, really, what's the term? Like, they had a quarterback that really just wasn't going to take the cake.
Yeah, like Blake that. Bortles.
Yeah. And that was a difference. But now, when you're on your way for getting one of the best NFL prospects, best college prospects in a long time in Lawrence, you're getting a proven winner in Urban Meyer, who, quite frankly, is one of the top. He is one of the top college coaches of all time.
He is Ohio State's finest.
That's how you build culture. That's how you build culture. Just like how Tom Coughlin did it when he went to Jacksonville after the Giants fired him.
But people like, said this, man, have you been hearing? Because Urban Meyer could be finalizing the deal with the Jacksonville Jaguars, and he is from Ohio State. Justin Fields is also coming out. Come on. What do you make?
If Urban Meyer lobbies the GM of the Jaguars, and I don't know who the GM of the Jaguars is. I know who the owner is. It's a guy named Khan, Shad Khan. I know because his brother, I think it's his brother, Tony Khan, owns all Elite Wrestling, which is my favorite wrestling company right now. So the Khan family, like, is he going to lobby the Khan family and whoever the GM is? I don't know who the GM is.
Trent Baalke.
What's his name?
Trent Baalke.
Trent Baalke?
Yeah.
Is he going to is Urban Meyer going to lobby these guys to take Justin Fields over Trevor Lawrence? That's never that's just absurd. That's really absurd.
Imagine if he does, though. That's the thing, because he's from Ohio State. He'll be like, I saw so much talent into this kid, Justin Fields. I believe in him 100%. This is your man. Imagine that.
100%. It's not going to happen.
I don't think it's going to happen, but imagine if it did. Jet fans would go ecstatic.
That would be like a Patrick. No, would it be up there with Patrick Ewing, where it's like, just like the luck of the draw?
Yeah.
I think that would be luckier than Ewing.
It probably would be. Because Ewing, the Knicks won the lottery, I think, the first time and ever and only time in NBA history, and got it. I mean, it was worth it. If it was our only number one pick that we ever got in the NBA draft lottery, it was worth it. If it was for Patrick Ewing, it was worth. I wouldn't take it back for nothing, because Patrick Ewing was too good. I don't care, even though he didn't win a ring, he was too good.
Now, a nice little segue here. Speaking of the Knicks, you know, I get that people were going crazy over 5-3. I was impressed.
Same old Knicks.
I thought that the coaching was really lighting a fire under these people, lighting a fire under Barrett, under Knox, under Quickly, under someone like Austin Rivers. Like, people were going insane over Austin Rivers scoring like what, like 14 points
in the fourth quarter. Yeah.
But the thing about the NBA, and this also applies to James Harden with the Nets, this league is built on stars.
Knicks don't even have one.
It just doesn't seem to like make sense to me. How, I mean, I get it. Like, you want to be excited for your team being young, and when you see that your team didn't trade for a big star, you're just going with it. And you're gonna be like, okay, we're young, we're developing, whatever we get is what we get. But the Knicks team doesn't score. Did you see the game? Like, this?
Yeah,
like,
it was horrible. The score doesn't match up with how they played.
Okay? I heard that RJ Barrett's having a little bit of a trouble shooting.
Trade him. Just trade. I'm done. I'm done with RJ. Like, I'm done. Like, in the second year, I'm finished with the man already. I'm finished. Because I've never seen such an inconsistent shooter and player in my life like this. How are you? You score 20 one night, and then you go out there and you stink up the place. Then you stink up the place again. Then you have a solid game. It's like, he's so hot and cold. It's unbelievable. Trade him while you can.
It's really crazy. So the Knicks are 5-7.
And they're just going to keep going lower and lower.
After being 5-3, they have lost four straight. Those are pretty good teams. The Hornets are actually a very good team. LaMelo Ball, talk about, you were all high on LaMelo Ball. I really was kind of like, is he really going to be that special? Dude, isn't LaMelo Ball somebody that the Knicks really need right now?
There's been two players that I've been right about. And, you know, people should hire me for scouting, since I can tell people. I tell it clear as day. I told the Jets, trade for Baker Mayfield, trade up for him. What happened? He's leading his team further in the playoffs this year. Just freaking destroyed the Steelers.
Hey, he made the playoffs before Sam.
Makes sense. Everyone in that draft class has Sam is horrible. Freaking Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen.
But Knicks are 5-7. Said they lost four straight. They could win the next couple of games. I mean, who knows? Thibodeau, I trust Tom Thibodeau. But Tom Thibodeau, I mean,
he's really not working with anything. Julius Randle, I say just cut the whole team and keep him.
You may have to like trade Julius Randle. If it doesn't get better, then they may have to trade him, which is actually, you'll get really a pretty nice package. You'll get a pretty nice package for Julius Randle. The man dropped 30 points yesterday, and you know.
Yeah, but I look at it this way. We're going to keep trading away this talent. Julius Randle's still young. Why don't we retain some of this talent? Because you trade it away. What happens if the assets that we get are not as good? And if they're draft picks, they're just busts. We can't be doing that. That's what I look at with these draft picks.
So you're looking at Randle as somebody that can be like their star.
Not really. He is their star right now. But look at it this way. If they get rid of Julius Randle, there's nothing to watch this Knicks team with. It's horrible. Obi Toppin has just been cleared to start playing basketball again. He only had like 58 seconds. They called it a cameo last night. Give me a break. And when are we going to see him playing full minutes again? Who knows?
You know, as a Knicks fan, dude, I would just focus on the core of Barrett, Mitchell Robinson, Obi Toppin, and Emmanuel Quickly.
Which is failing from Barrett's standpoint.
But it's early in the season. And didn't he have 20 something points like yesterday?
Yeah, he
like,
did. He did. But he's
like, you started to pick it up, but it's all about consistency. I know what you're saying.
It's the consistency. Like, he'll have one great game, and the other game he's 2 for 18, 2 for 20. It started early yesterday in the game. I was watching the first quarter. I watched his first couple shots. He was like 0 for 2, 0 for 3. I'm like, here we go again.
Now let's end this show with
the Nets trade.
Yeah. Big trade. When you heard about this trade, were you just like, well, you, remember, I told you this like last month. I said this is a win-win situation for Brooklyn, to be honest. In a way that if they don't trade for Harden, they have all this depth. If they do trade for Harden, then you have a super team. Now, that will all depend upon Kyrie, because Kyrie has really just not done himself much favors these past couple of games.
He hasn't. He's been AWOL.
People don't really. It's not going to work if Kyrie is not fully in. I have a good feeling that the Nets GM Sean Marks, they had some sort of dialogue with Kyrie. There's no way that he's just been like, oh, like they didn't contact me for this trade, please. It's this trade with James Harden, like, for me, it's all in. Their future is gone. Caris LeVert's gone. Jared Allen's gone. Torian Prince is gone. They got 4 first-round picks gone. I think like 4 trade swaps.
It's the Celtics trade all over again. But this time, you have to – I mean, it's not as bad because those guys were out of their primes when you got him, which was just unbelievable. Now you're going to win.
Now you're trading for a guy that's in his prime. You got people in their prime. You got stars in their prime.
James Harden, this is it. He put on a lot of weight.
That's the thing. I'm willing to see if this will work. I have a good feeling that it will. That's just me, because me being a fan. Because, like, this is how the league is, man. This is how the league is. And with Kyrie being out for so long, I think the Nets were forced into this because they thought to themselves, if Kyrie is gone, what if we lose KD? Like, what if KD all says, you know, listen, I came here to be with Kyrie, and Kyrie's not here, so why should I give a damn? That's the thing about the NBA, man. The players have so much power that front offices are catering to their top-level talent. They're hiring coaches with full on say and decision making by the players. LeBron James got his head coach at Cleveland fired. I forget his name. David Blau. I forget his name.
David, was it Blatt? Is that what his name was?
David Blatt. Remember when LeBron fired that coach? They brought in Tyronn Lue. Next year, they go to the NBA Finals and win. KD and Kyrie had full-on, like, had they were given access to the head coaching search when Kenny Atkinson was fired. KD and Kyrie brought in Steve Nash.
Yep.
Anthony Davis forced his way out of New Orleans, man. I think the Pelicans are probably in a better spot as a team right now without Anthony Davis. But it's like these players are just running the show. They run the show.
Yep. I know you asked me, what was I thinking and how was I feeling? We've been hearing about this trade for months. It just finally came into fruition, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it really should make Dolan feel like crap, because you have the Brooklyn Nets in town, who are just a borough. They're the main attraction in the city.
They're from Jersey.
Yeah, I know. And you know what? I wish they would go back to Jersey, because, you know, I didn't hate them then.
I would love them to go back to Jersey, because then they would actually be able to go to some games. But they couldn't stay in Jersey.
I didn't hate them when they were in Jersey. I hate them now because you have all these net, not you, but there's a lot of these net fans that are going nuts and heckling Knicks fans all over the place. Like the Knicks, are always going to be New York's team first. But I mean, right now the Nets they're outdoing them over here. They got the three superstars in Brooklyn. The Knicks, if I'm James Dolan, I feel like garbage. You've lost. You've lost the battle between the two New York teams. You've lost. You've done nothing. You've sat there on your fat ass and have done nothing.
Well, wouldn't you give Dolan credit for at least being hesitant on bringing in Kyrie? Because could you imagine if Kyrie was pulling this shit while he was with the Knicks? Would you at least give Dolan that much credit?
No, because you know, I don't give him anything because I didn't want Kyrie. You know who I wanted. I say it every freaking time it comes up with the trades and free agency in the NBA. I wanted Kemba Walker.
Yeah.
But Kemba, I hate Kyrie Irving. I don't like him. You heard the Celtics stories. He was a cancer in the locker room.
And now he's off the grid.
He bitched his way out of Cleveland.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And now he's doing this with the Nets. That's why when the Nets were like, we got Kyrie. Look what's going on. You don't want him now. Not like this. Not if this continues. You're going to want him off.
I'll put it to you like this. This trade with Harden is worth it if the Nets win at least the title in the next 3 years. If they don't win the title, man, and these guys leave because they're of old age, whoa. Then there goes, because your draft capital's gone, there's nothing left. Of course, you got to rely on the front office. And Sean Marks is a very smart man. You're trusting him to find gems in the second, third rounds. First round picks are gone. It's all gone. Caris LeVert was your homegrown guy. He's gone. Jared Allen, same thing. He's gone.
Unbelievable, man. I'll give this to that. You guys make moves, which I respect. I wish the Knicks would make a move once in a while.
But you know what? It's a ballsy move, but you know what? Sometimes a franchise has to do it.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. I give credit for the Nets. They always gamble. You have to gamble sometimes. You have to make that gutsy move.
The Pearson Garnett trade, you gotta understand something. Even when they made that trade, they weren't finals favorites. You gotta understand something. LeBron, D Wade, Bosch, they were still in Miami. The Eastern Conference was very stacked. Was stacked during that time. Had the Raptors, the Pacers.
Yep. Hell,
the Knicks had talent. Like it was.
And that's a long time ago.
Yeah. So that was mostly to give eyeballs and headlines to the Brooklyn Nets, because the owner at the time, Mikhail Prokhorov, wanted to win a championship as quickly as possible, because the Nets just went to Brooklyn and they wanted to steal headlines, and they wanted to assemble a team that had a bunch of veterans that knew how to play, and hopefully they could put all their chips on the table and maybe could win the title. But they weren't favorites. They won a first round series against Toronto, and then they played the Heat and they got beat in six games. Like, it wasn't anything special. These are special players. This is what you do.
Yep. It's all about taking that gamble, but you got to win. Remember that. You got to win the next 3 years.
I agree.
You have to win, because if you don't win.
You know what? That's the thing. If they don't win, then it was, guess, you know what? It was a gamble that I understand that you make, because when you bring in stars, you gotta put it over the goal line eventually.
You gotta win.
So hopefully, fingers crossed, next 3 years. Let's see what happens. But let's call this a show. Let's do some socials here. My Instagram is at TANOOCH96. Once again, at TANOOCH96.
Yep. You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at The Real Max, TheReelMax. Once again, TheReelMax. You can check out all of our previous episodes on all the podcast platforms, Podbean, Spotify, Anchor, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, all that. Even iHeartRadio, you can check out our podcasts on there. And especially on this YouTube channel, Sports and Hip Hop with DJ Mad Max. You can check out all the Tony and Mad Max visuals on my website as well, maxrcoughlin.com, maxrcoughlin.com. Under don't show.
Don't expect much from freaking Instagram, because we're not getting much from Nick.
No, Instagram is just a POS. Okay.
All righty, guys. So thank you for tuning in. Wear a mask. Stay distant. Stay safe. Wash your hands, please. And we'll see you next time. So long.
So long.